Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, For Goodness Sake, part of the series Beyond Limits, The Fruit of the Spirit in Your Life, was given by Pastor Greg Cuzzona on Sunday, July 23, 2023. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
We're looking at this quality of goodness today that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, and the title for the sermon is For Goodness Sake. As I said, I'm talking about goodness, I'm preaching on goodness, but I want to begin with loneliness. Why? Because goodness is an antidote to loneliness. If there's one thing that I think many of us are deeply troubled by, particularly your pastors, is the loneliness that is so pervasive in our culture today. I remember a talk by George Gallup Jr. I heard now, I think at least three decades ago, when I was just finishing seminary, George Gallup Jr., the pollster who had been seeking to understand the life of what it is to live in the United States, said that Americans are some, perhaps the loneliest people on the planet. Probably we're lonely because we're so individualistic. The saying I hear is, I do me, you do you, right? What I hear in the Bible is, We're connected deeply. We're actually connected, if you want to get super theological, because we are connected in Jesus Christ as a reality. It was the great novelist, the Russian novelist Dostoevsky, who said, hell is the suffering of not being able to love. Hell is the suffering of not being able to love. And it really does break my heart how much suffering and sadness I see today. But I'm not just saying it. Lori Santos, cognitive scientist and professor of psychology at Yale University. So, you know, kind of a slouch, right? That was a joke, in case you missed that. Sometimes I have to signal jokes, just so you know. Here they go. She teaches psychology and the good life, and it's one of the most popular courses at Yale. She's turned into a podcast called The Happiness Lab. And she says this, 60% of people in the U.S. right now report feeling lonely on a regular basis. And that's pretty devastating from a public health perspective. It's worse than the rates of obesity. It's worse than the rates of diabetes, she says. Everything we know as researchers suggests that loneliness is as big a public threat in terms of effect as diabetes and obesity and other things in the United States. Let me offer a composite story that I've heard to illustrate this, perhaps. Now, this is a story I've heard. It's composite. I've heard this for the whole time I've been a pastor. So I've been ordained since 1996. Even before that, in churches, I heard this. So if it sounds like you, I'm not just telling your story, but you might be part of this story. Sometimes people come back to the churches I've served, whether it was First Presbyterian Church or Berkeley or Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church or Bidwell Presbyterian Church, and they say this to me. Well, first of all, we have a little interchange. I'm like, hey, it's good to see you. And they say, yeah, I haven't been around very much. You see, I went and I visited another church. And the other church was, in many ways, really great. I mean, I really like their music. I really like their values. I like what I heard, even from the sermons. But you know what? Nobody really got a chance to know me. Nobody really reached out and asked about me, or really interchanged and exchanged a way in which we could become connected with one another. I mean, I've heard that story over the years. Basically, what's happening is people come to church and they sit in these pews and they, you know, often just look straight forward, the music or the preaching or whatever, and don't ever get a chance to look around and connect with one another. Now, lest it sounds like I'm saying a word of judgment against Bidwell Presbyterian Church, I say our scorecard's pretty good overall. We do pretty well at this, actually. And I'm going to go back to this at the end of the sermon. I hear a lot of people that are cared for. But you know what, brothers and sisters? 60% of the United States experiences loneliness on a regular basis. There are people in this congregation today who are feeling lonely. And goodness is an antidote to loneliness. See, the antidote of goodness is that we look out for the good of the other people around us. But so much of our culture tells us it's about me, me, me. Sometimes we hear this in pop music. So this particular pop song came to me because I'm learning bass. So you might know I'm a drummer, and over the years I've heard bass in my ear, right? So I decided I'm going to learn bass, which I've been doing for the past few years, and not very good yet. I'm not going to do a solo today. But one of the songs my teacher had me learn, because it's got this amazingly cool bass part, this pop song, pretty powerful, is the bass part is pretty powerful. The song, as you'll hear, is interesting. It's Miley Cyrus's Flowers. You might know the song. Yeah. So Miley Cyrus, at least in the persona of the song, has just gone through a breakup. And by the way, if you ever want to spoil a pop song, just read it flat off the page. So here you go. I didn't want to leave you. I didn't want to lie. I started to cry, but then I remembered, and here's the title of the song, I can buy myself flowers, write my name in the sand, talk to myself for hours, say things you don't understand. I can take myself dancing, and I can hold my own hand, whatever that means. Yeah, I can love me better than you can. Can love me, baby. Yeah, can love me, baby. Ooh, can love me, baby. Right, Alex? Yeah. And Will? Well, thank you. I really don't think I'm going to threaten Miley Cyrus with that rendition of her song because it's so good. That's what I mean. At any rate, do you hear what's a little wrong with that song? Like, what does it mean to hold your own hand, right? What does it mean to sing to yourself for hours? I mean, or to talk to yourself for hours. Like, if somebody did that, we'd think it wasn't quite stable, right? Now, hear me in this. Because somebody's going to say to me, I can buy myself flowers. Yes, you can. Do it. And if you want to buy me flowers, I love carnations, by the way, okay? That's good. Take care of yourself. Do self-care. But self-care and self-love has a limit. And this is where one of the great poets of our day, in pop music, I do not mean this with any irony whatsoever when I say Taylor Swift is one of our poets of today. She is the same level as Bob Dylan, who won a Nobel Prize, for goodness sake. She is a voice of our generation. And Taylor Swift understands the problems with this. You know her song, Anti-Hero? Extremely popular. It's me, hi. I'm the problem. It's me. It's me, hi. I'm the problem. It's me. You see, great to love yourself, but it is restrictive. It has us do what Martin Luther called curving in on ourselves, right? We become about as big as our own little world because there that me you find has so many problems. And that is what goodness helps us to learn. Instead of looking at me, we look at God. And why can we love ourselves? Because God loves us with an everlasting love. God loves us with an everlasting love. So I'm going to give you these signs sometimes when I preach. If you just heard that and that spoke to you, just go ahead and space out, all right? And just meditate on that. Because God loves us, and that's the goodness that we experience. Not about loving ourselves, talking to ourselves, caring for ourselves, as that is important. It's learning that we are broken and we open ourselves to this God who loves us. Let the funnel of his grace open our funnel so his grace just pours into our lives. And this is where we get to Galatians 5, 22 through 25. So, you know, we've been reading this passage. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to begin with by contrast. So in terms of the contrast of the multiple works of the flesh, they go all these different ways, create division and isolation. There's the unity of the fruit of the Spirit. And the unity of the fruit of the Spirit, I've learned, comes through the first word, which is love. So all the other eight parts of the fruit of the Spirit, you can interpret those as being channeled through love, as exhibitions of love. So what is love? Well, I'm going to basically compliment Henry, Pastor Henry's definition from a few weeks ago. Love is actively willing and working for the good of another. Actively willing and working for the good of another. That's love. And somebody said, you know, the sermon, Greg, you didn't quote C.S. Lewis. Well, I just did, by the way, just so you know. Paraphrased it, and M. Scott Peck. Love is actively willing and working for the good of another. So here's the passage. By contrast with the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity. Did it get your attention? That's the word often also translated goodness. Kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Here's the invitation. If we live by the Spirit, let us be guided by the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or generosity. So we have a moment here because it's only one word. We got a little time. We can do a little bit of depth, a little bit of a deep dive in that word. It's the word agathosune, if you're given over to learning the Greek words. It comes from the word agathos, which means good. Good in Greek has a very broad and positive definition of like beauty and fullness. Agathosune is goodness, more in the terms of personal side of righteousness, this energetic side that spills out from us is agathosune. And it's defined, this word, by Paul. Actually, as far as people can tell, it wasn't used outside of the New Testament. And so we can really find out how this word is particularly used by looking at the three other verses in which it is employed by Paul. Romans 15, 14. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness. I'm convinced of it, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Second Thessalonians 1:11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, that by God's power he may bring to fruition your desire for goodness, and your deed prompted by faith. Ephesians 5:9, in describing what Paul calls Christians, children of light, he says, the fruit of the light, and this of course refers to Ray's sermon earlier, his children's sermon, the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, one of the scholars that I looked to, one of the lovers of the Bible who was passionate about understanding the scripture, that I often read is a writer named F.F. Bruce. And F.F. Bruce, commenting on this passage, says that goodness is really connected with generosity. As I mentioned before, you can take this word agathosune and you can say it's goodness. You could also say it's generosity. And Bruce points to Jesus' words. Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, if your eye is generous, you could say, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is generous, your whole body will be full of light. Generosity. Generosity. In all the people we meet, do we have a generous eye that sees the image of God in everybody we meet? A generous eye that seeks to understand, that seeks to care and to love, to laugh with, to celebrate, to cry with. A generous eye. If our eye is generous, it's like that big window right there that is open to the light. Not a dark stained glass, it's opaque glass, all these windows. The light comes in. The light comes in and shines in our sanctuary. By the way, this came to my mind as I was thinking about this. When we were redoing the sanctuary, you know, we're trying to put together how do you do, you know, traditional worship and the choir and the organ with contemporary music, and how do you project stuff on the screens. And one of the consultants said, you know, the problem you have here is you've got all this light that comes in the sanctuary. It's terrible for projection. You could just dampen all that light, you know? Make it like a movie theater. Then your projection will look really good. And we said, know what? Hey, it's Chico. 300 days of sun here. And as Ray told us, that's an image of God's light shining in. His grace that shines in the just and the unjust. Are our eyes full of lights? So I want to ask this question I started with, which is, well, not exactly started with, it was probably, what, 1B or something. How are we doing as a congregation with goodness? If I've defined it properly, it's seeking the other's best, the good of another. How are we doing with goodness? You see, it is really important to look at the fruit of the Spirit as an individual. But really, Paul was writing to Christian communities. He was writing to tell us how to live as a community. So how are we doing as a community? And this brings me to an important cultural moment of about 4 days ago. My shirt is an indication of what I'm going to allude to, talk about in a moment. My pink shirt. Yes, the Barbie movie. And I also brought my pink water bottle. And if you want to, if you know the movie at all, you'll notice that this is also a statement against toxic patriarchy, just so you know. You have to see the movie to understand that joke. Anyway, so the Barbie movie, I was so excited to see it, A, because it's gotten so much cultural play. I'm like, you just got to see this as a cultural moment. It's also amazing because my friend Chris, he put, and Liz, but Chris particularly put on a Ken blonde wig and started dancing in the hallway of, you know, Cinemark, and that was by itself something worth seeing. We have videos, and we've said there's a ransom that will be exacted with that video. But even more, this is like this amazing director and writer, Greta Gerwig, and really A-level actors, Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling. And what Barbie asks, and if you think I'm taking, this is kind of a joke, yeah, it's kind of a joke, but it's also what the movie does is ask about what does our fantasy land of like playing with dolls and our images of womanhood and all that, how does it interact with the real world? That's one of the key questions and issues of the movie, and they do such a great job. So Barbie, being Barbie, wakes up every day, and I want to get this just right because it's so well written. She says things like this: "It is the best day ever. So was yesterday, and so is tomorrow, and every day from now until forever." But that very first day, that very night, she has a party, which she throws in her Barbie house and has her friends over, Barbies. Every woman basically is named Barbie, by the way, and every guy's named Ken. So the Kens and the Barbies are there, more or less. There's also Alan, who was like a doll that they had for like 3 months, but they discontinued in Mattel. That's a good little joke on the side. But they're having their Barbie dance party, and it's like amazing music by like Dua Lipa and all sort of stuff. And in the middle, Barbie finds herself dancing and blurting out, "Hey, you guys, do you ever think about dying?" And like, you know, the record goes, right? And everything just stops. Because in Barbie land, there's no death. But in Barbie land, you don't talk about things like death and pain and hurt. Sometimes I wonder about the Christian church. Do we live in like a Barbie land? Where you read this passage, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and you read it and you say, isn't that wonderful? The Christian church is like this. Today's the best day ever. Today's the best day, so will tomorrow be, because we're worshiping the Lord together. I was once bad and sad, and now I'm saved and glad, right? But what we're learning from this passage and goodness as a practice in Christian experience is, hey, let's celebrate together. Let's have a few dance parties for sure, right? But let's take enough time to listen when there's pain. To really get to know one another. When there's hurt, when there's disappointment, when there's just the quotidian, you know, the humdrum of life. And I'm going to say this to those of us who may not like to talk as much. Maybe we're a little more introverted. Well, you know what? You have a little bit of advantage if that's your tendency, because you're given over more to listening. And James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And maybe there are some others of us who love to talk. And talking is really important. But I've said this before, every once in a while, you got to stop talking and listen. And so all those interactions I was talking about with this composite picture, yes, it's sharing, but it's also listening. And if you feel lonely, yes, we need to reach out to you as a congregation, but there's also a job that we have if we feel lonely, to ask about others, how are you doing? And to really listen, what interests you today? What difference do you want to make in this world? Maybe if you get a little deeper. See, sometimes we think that love is 50-50. But love, and goodness expressed as love, is 100-100. We give all of what we can to all, to the person that and the people we're connecting with and back and forth. Of course, with proper limits and boundaries. That's another topic in the sermon. But we learn to give of ourselves and receive. And in that beautiful interchange, that's Christian community as Paul describes it. With goodness as the value of love that the Spirit leads us in. So here's what I want to end with. I'm a little concerned as I prepared this message, and even as we've done this series, I'm a little concerned that these qualities are so high, you know? And I taught one of these qualities at Webb. Janice Barnett asked me to do it, who leads Webb and guides the direction of the teaching. And even then, I was like hit by guilt and even some shame. Like, I haven't lived up to the qualities that I'm preaching on, right? So maybe you're going to feel like a little bit of, oh my gosh, I don't live up to this. And let's just remember so many different things. But one of them is that Paul says that for freedom of the Spirit, Christ has made you free. And so I'm asking this question that I learned from the preacher and writer who just died a couple months ago, and you've heard a lot about, Tim Keller. He said, in every sermon, preachers ask the question, where is the gospel in this? Meaning, where is God's work in this? And if we're hearing this as one more law, one more thing we have to do, yes, we have to do it in the sense that if we want to follow Christ and grow, yes, we need to do this, but not in the sense that this is the final word on whether God's going to love us or not. So listen, I think it's Anne Lamott. Who puts this together so well? Anne Lamott, the writer, who, boy, she has a great sense of humor, and she understands grace, and she understands frailties, I'm sure, if that means something. And she says this, the secret is that God loves us exactly as we are, exactly the way we are. So if you tuned out until now, you can hear this again, right? That's the gospel. And the other part of the gospel of grace is this, and that God loves us too much to let us stay like this. Now, when you hear something that good, you're welcome to say amen, right? The secret, I'm going to add of grace, is this. That God loves us exactly the way we are, and that he loves us too much to let us stay like this. That is the goodness of God. Let's open ourselves to receive that goodness and let it flow out by the power of the Holy Spirit to the world around us. Amen? Let's pray together. Spirit, we do come to you because these are qualities of your fruit in our life. I just want to take a moment to breathe, take stock of this breath that you give us as a sign of your ongoing power of creation, God. Let us breathe in your goodness, that we may breathe out your goodness to this world as a community above all, through Christ our Lord. Amen.